Thank you, Jerry. And Joe, we'll catch up with you guys tomorrow. But right now, let's hear from the peoples. It is the Blue Jays Talk. And the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays blank the Yanks 4-2-0. Let's get right to the phones. Owen, in Toronto, you're going to be the leadoff man on the Blue Jays Talk this afternoon. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
So just a couple of things. First off, obviously, Dickey was tremendous. I'm sure you're going to hear that a lot today. Great bounce back after the first game. You know, it was very disappointing. But I think being at home obviously helped in a dome. And he was great. I mean,
he was in a dome on Monday, too.
Yeah. I mean, but like at home, whatever.
Okay.
So he was great. I think the offense, you know, as well, the same two guys. I mean, the whole offense is good, but I mean, Cabrera and Bautista hitting the two home runs were very good, clutch. And my, I have a couple questions. My first question is, how long is Reyes going to be out for? I know he's in the DL, but do you think it's going to be like when he comes back and has an injury?
I have no idea. I mean, you hope not. He was out there taking batting practice today. He took some ground balls this afternoon, both of which were really good signs. I mean, you generally, when a guy has a hamstring injury, it's a couple of weeks before they let him do anything. So the fact that he was taking ground balls today, swinging the bat, was good. Maybe he will, in fact, be able to be back on April 16th, which is the first day he's eligible to come off the DL. That would be a week from Wednesday. Maybe not. You never know. He could get set back. The hamstrings are tricky things. And, you know, we've had more than long enough or more than enough experience with thinking a guy's going to be back in a certain time and it takes him another week, couple weeks, month, couple months, who knows. So we're all hoping that Reyes will be available on the 16th.
Right. And also my comment about Dickey, just something I realized. I mean, this happens every pitcher, but because he's a knuckleballer, I don't know, I just realized kind of he'll come out and have one really bad game, but then the next game he'll be amazing. I know obviously it's not always like that, because sometimes he'll have an average game, three or four runs or whatever. But I feel like he's not always so consistent. I just want to know what you think about that.
He's not, and it's partly because of the knuckleball. It has a lot to do with the knuckleball. If it's not knuckling on a particular day, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. But if it's moving and he's controlling it well and he's not walking people, then he's going to be really, really good. But there's no truth to the notion that he's, you know, bad game, good game, bad game, good game. He has far more good games than bad games over the last 4 years, and I expect him to be a very good contributor to this team this year.
Yeah, I just find it kind of scary, though, because, you don't know what you're going to get from him. I understand, like you said, he does have more good games than bad games, especially in the second half of the year last year. But I just find it a little scary how you don't know if you're going to get good Dickey or bad Dickey on any given day.
Well, but you don't know that with anybody except maybe the 10 best pitchers in the game, if that. So that's just something you have to deal with. Bad Dickey, though, is often awfully bad, like we saw in Tampa last time. Thanks for the call, Owen. Today he was terrific, and the Blue Jays beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-0. Phone lines are open on this Saturday afternoon at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I'm going to go with Levi here in St. Catharines. Was I right?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, yeah, just a comment. I was trying to get in yesterday and couldn't make it through, but just a comment about the challenging the play. Umpire's challenging. I love it. I think it's something I've been saying for years and hope to come into play. And I play a little softball, and there's nothing worse than getting a bad call and everything. So even with last night, it came back to hurt us. The crowd was booing when they challenged, but that's just because it's going against us. But I couldn't have been happier, even though, obviously not with the result, but with the fact that it got turned over. It's going to happen for us in a positive way down the road. And just kind of thrown out there that I think it's a great thing. I don't know your feelings on it entirely or a couple of you guys in there, but are you for it? Are you loving it? Are you?
I don't like the challenge system. I love instant replay, and I love the fact that they're trying to get more calls right.
Yep.
What I want to do is get all the calls right. Right. You know, as many as possible. I don't like the fact that the managers have to choose when they want to challenge and when they don't. We've already seen a game where a manager used his challenge, got it wrong, and then the umpires blew a call later in the game and couldn't look at it. I think it was actually the very next play. They blew a call and weren't allowed to review it, so that wrong call stood because the manager had challenged a correct call earlier. I don't like that. I don't like the... I don't like the wasting time walking out and waiting for your coach to signal you as to whether or not you should review a call. That I don't love, but I would like... I just want as many calls as possible gotten right. That's what I want.
So how does it work exactly? I know you get one per seven, and if you're right, you get another one. If you're wrong, you don't. But what happens after the seventh inning? Is it up to the umpires at that point? Or
If you haven't used a challenge or if you have a challenge remaining after the sixth inning, then you're still allowed to challenge after the sixth. But if you don't, you can go out and ask the umpires if they will review it, and it's up to them, which is, again, silliness,
is that
I think.
Once? Or
no, as often as you want.
After the sixth. Okay. Yeah, right on. All right,
bro. All right. Thank you for the call. I'm glad you're on the side of what's right and good, by the way, of wanting to get as many calls as possible right. Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 4-0. We are Blue Jays talking it up to the top of the hour, and then we hand our flagship station over to the Hockey Pucks, and we'll have Leafs Nation pregame and the Leafs and Jets, and then Leafs Nation postgame and all kinds of hockey from 5 o'clock. But until 5 o'clock Eastern, it's the baseball here and on Sportsnet590.ca. If you're listening elsewhere across our great nation, when we let the network go at the bottom of the hour, hang with us online, sportsnet590.ca, or give us a call. Sal is in Coburg. Sal, welcome aboard.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing all right. Go ahead.
That's good. It was a great game. I just have a couple of questions. Is there any way we can use Melky as a designated hitter, maybe put Adam on first base and use someone a little more quicker in the outfield?
Like Edwin Encarnacion?
Yeah.
No? Why would you want Edwin in the outfield?
I don't know. I just find Melky just too slow out there. That's all. I love his bat right now. That's great, but...
I'm not sure you've watched any games this year, then. I think you're thinking of last year's Melky Cabrera. The guy was running around with a tumor on his spinal cord. He's certainly not slow anymore.
Right now, but you...
Well, you expect another tumor to grow?
No, I hope not, but you never know with him. I don't know. I think
it's a bit of a stretch.
Okay, then.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Remember that if you move Melky Cabrera to DH, that means somebody has to go to left field who is either Adam Lind or Edwin Encarnacion. And I'm not quite sure that you want that to happen. Actually, let me put it another way. I am 100% sure that you don't want that to happen. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays shut out the Yankees 4-0, back to .500 on the season at 3-3, chance to win a series tomorrow with Drew Hutchison on the mound against CC Sabathia, who got knocked around, just like R.A. Dickey got knocked around in the first start of the season. Don is somewhere in Saskatchewan listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Don, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
It is great to talk to you, Mike. I'm thrilled that it's spring again. What an amazing, just incredible game. I was just blown away.
Is it springtime in the prairies, too?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you your opinion. You're the pro. I'll just tell you, I was really surprised, and I'm happy about it. It's neat. But I was shocked about Colby Rasmus being just batting where he is. And I was really surprised. But you're the guy who knows ball, so I'll hand it over to a pro. I just wanted to ask your opinion. A, were you surprised with where they put Colby in the lineup? And just given his, you know, strikeout numbers in the past, and I'm really hoping 100% that it works fantastic, looks okay so far. But what's your opinion? That's all I wanted to do. Ask a pro's opinion of where Colby is at in the lineup.
Well, I wouldn't have Colby Rasmus hitting second, but It's not necessarily because of the strikeouts. It's because he's just, I mean, he's not as good a hitter as Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion. I want to get them to the plate sooner when there's no real 1-2. Like when Jose Reyes is healthy, he's the leadoff man. And Melky Cabrera swinging it the way he is. And if he's good Melky, then he's a fine number two hitter to set up your 3-4-5 of Bautista, Encarnacion, and Lynn to drive in some runs. But when Reyes is gone or Cabrera is gone, there's no real number two hitter. So, you know, you can try Rasmus. People have suggested trying Brett Laurie. Some other people have even suggested putting Adam Lind up there. My thought, and I've been talking about it all week, is to have Jose Bautista hit second, have Edwin hit third, have Lind bat fourth, move them all up, and that way you get to Bautista sooner. There have been three or four big spots so far since game two of the season, because obviously you're not going to adjust your lineup for the lack of Reyes in the opener. You didn't know you were going to lose him.
Right.
But since the start of game two, there have been three or four big spots where the number two hitter has come up with runners on and two out and has gotten out, and it's resulted in Bautista leading off an inning instead of getting a chance to hit with men on base. So I want him hitting second.
That's a really your suggestion makes all the sense in the world. So I'll just leave you this question. Any idea what do you think the rationale is for Colby being right now in the number two spot?
Well, we talked to John Gibbons about that this morning, and he said you weren't there. he said that he likes the idea of, you know, he thinks that Rasmus has handled the number two spot before, and he has. A couple of years ago, he did an all right job for a while hitting second. He likes the fact that Rasmus takes some walks. He thinks that he's just off a little bit, that the timing is just slightly off, and that he's very close to having it click back in. And once he gets hot, he can go on a heck of a streak. So,
he sure wasn't off on the field today. That timing was 110% perfect. That was incredible, that snag.
It was
saved
a great
the game, maybe. You never know.
And a great throw as well when he threw a runner out at home plate in the third inning.
Incredible, yeah.
Thank
you so much, Mike.
No, thank you, Don.
Have a great
appreciate
day.
The call. I want Jose Bautista hitting second. The word is that Jose Bautista doesn't want Jose Bautista hitting second. We heard about that last year, the reports that he was kind of balking at the move, which is unfortunate. Because really, overall, it's better for the team right now. But they're 3-3, and 3-2 without Jose Reyes in the lineup. So we shall see. John Gibbons, we were just talking about John Gibbons. So why don't we hear from John Gibbons? The Blue Jays skipper spoke to the media. The Jays beat the Yankees 4-0. Here's what Gibby had to say.
Great. Yeah, you know what? He had it working today. You know, the other day in Tampa, it wasn't on. Today it was on. And you know, he gave us... This was a big game for us, you know. We need to bounce back. You know, we're at home. We're feeling good about ourselves. And I think it was a big game for this early in the year. I thought it was a big game. And, you know, he stepped up, and the bullpen did their thing, you know. It was good to see the offense open it up late and give us a little breathing room. And that's huge in this game, especially in this ballpark.
Gibby, you had another big night from Melky Cabrera. Big afternoon, excuse me. Is the player that you're seeing now what you thought you were going to get last year?
Yeah, we think so. You know, Melky's always been able to hit. I mean, that's the bottom line. From his younger days with the Yankees and then Kansas City and then on through San Francisco, you know, he had his issues, but, you know, he's always been able to hit. And the thing is now he's healthy. You know, it was a mystery last year what happened to him, you know, as far as his ability to move. And then, you know, they solved that problem. But one thing, he's always been able to hit from his Yankee days on, that's for sure.
John. Colby struggled a bit at the plate this year, but hit a big ground rule double late in the game and made those two defensive gems in the game. You got a comment about him?
Yeah, Buff, you know, it's just a matter of time. And sometimes, you know, you get that one hit, hopefully that sparks him and gets him going. You know, you look around baseball, you know, and even some of the guys on the other side, that, you know, I mean, they're off to slow starts, but that's not going to last. And sometimes you just maybe that one hit gets you going. But then he bounced back, too, made a great play on the outfield. That, you know, the way things set up there at the end was a big out. So, you know, hopefully that gets him going.
John, you guys were pretty aggressive with the shift today. How much of a role does that day's starting pitcher have in influencing how often you guys use it and who you use it to? Does Dickey, for example, have a say in kind of where the fielders are going to be positioned?
Yeah, well, Dickey's different. You know, his ball is just not like your conventional pitcher where, you know, he'll give up a lot of hits off the end of the bat. You know, that ball takes off at the last second. He'll get a lot of bleeders, that kind of thing. So it's a little bit different. But the pitching coach and Louie check with him on certain guys. The other guys are all on board, however we want to do it. But hope it works.
On the review at the plate, did the ump say that Toley, just because his legs were spread apart, gave him the lane there? Did he?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I didn't talk to the umpire about that, but that's one of those areas. Now, if that gets overturned, I mean that's tough to overturn. I don't care what the replay showed or anything. You know, if he's called safe when he's clearly out and things like that, now you're screwing with a game of baseball. And I think that's, I think they're smart enough up in those offices reviewing those things to know, hey, you know, that's a little different. And, the throw, I'm not sure exactly the way he set up, but I know the throw took him in the line a little bit, not much. But Colby, I know we talked about last year, Colby's 2 assists this year. He's been on the money, so that's good to see. You know, Leaper's doing a heck of a job with the outfielder. So, that's that gray area. I mean, you don't want to give somebody an automatic run just for, so I'm sure they'll be a little more flexible.
John Gibbons, his thoughts on the game, on the collision at the plate and the review by the umpires on R.A. Dickey and a 4-0 win by the Blue Jays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Let's take one more caller before we break. Scott is in Niagara Falls. Scott, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my call, sir. I had the pleasure of calling in this morning as well to talk to Mr. Ben Ennis, and I was a little nervous about Dickey, and I just wanted to throw myself under the bus and say, hey, what a great game, what a great afternoon. I wanted to know how you felt about the bottom of the lineup, sir. I also wanted to welcome our new color commentator and tell you guys sincerely, I work all summer long, and it's only on the radio, and I've heard tons of other games, and there was no other station to listen to. You guys are great. I love it. I love the enthusiasm, and you should see, I can see people beside me in cars getting excited when you guys get excited. Thank you very much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the year, sir.
That's awesome. Thank you, Scott. I really do appreciate that. And I know a lot of people were nervous about R.A. Dickey and thought he would get his ears pinned back again, and not many of them would actually call up and A, admit it, or B, not say, oh, they knew the whole time that he was going to be great. There were so many people after opening night just wrote off R.A. Dickey and the Blue Jays for the whole season. So, long view's good, and realizing a little bit of history and who people are is helpful too. So thank you for that, Scott. As far as the bottom of the lineup is concerned, it's not strong offensively. It is incredibly strong defensively. I love Goins and Diaz up the middle. I think that there are a lot of hits that they take away, and that makes up for the lack of hitting that they do at the bottom of the order. That said, Jonathan Diaz has swung the bat awfully well in his 4 or 5 games since he's been up. So that's been a real pleasure to see. You can score runs without a big contribution from the bottom of the order. You can. It's tough. And, the notion that in the American League East you have to have 9 good hitters up and down the lineup, well, the truth of the matter is nobody does. Look at the bottom of the New York Yankees lineup with the Kelly Johnson, Francisco Cervelli, Solarte, and Dean Anna. Solarte's been swinging the bat awfully well, for sure, but none of those guys are good hitters. And still, you can score runs, and they got 16 hits yesterday. So I'm not worried. As long as they continue to take runs away, it'll be better when Jose Reyes comes back, very obviously. But better to have great defense if you can't have a great offense. We're going to step away. When we come back, we will let the network go, but we're going to continue to Blue Jays talk it up all the way to the top of the hour. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. Blue Jays blank the Yanks 4-0. It is a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays blank the New York Yankees by a score of 4-0, and the rubber match will go tomorrow afternoon. We're Blue Jays talking it up all the way to the top of the hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And if you're elsewhere across our listening area, you can tune in online, sportsnet590.ca. Stay with me, and we will continue the Blue Jays talkage. On that out-of-town scoreboard, elsewhere across the Major League Baseball, the New York Mets beat the Cincinnati Reds 6-3 on a walk-off grand slam by Ike Davis. Tigers lead the Orioles 7-6 in the top of the ninth. Baltimore is threatening, though, with two on and two out for Nelson Cruz. Tomorrow, it's Drew Hutchison for the Blue Jays, CeCe Sabathia for the New York Yankees. The winner takes the series as the Jays try to get back up over 500. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Igor Enriquez, bye-bye. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees by a score of 4-0. Home run for Melky Cabrera in the bottom of the eighth gives the Blue Jays 2-0 lead, and then the hitting started to become contagious as Colby Rasmus followed with a double. Jose Bautista went deep as well. 4-0 is your final score. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees, and they have a chance to take the series tomorrow in the rubber match with Drew Hutchison on the mound against CeCe Sabathia. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. And we're taking your phone calls right up until 5 o'clock when Gord Stelic takes over with Leafs Nation postgame. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Steve is in Newmarket. Steve, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. First time caller.
All right. Welcome.
Great game. I was just down there with a buddy and loved the way, like, Chase played awesome. I just question sometimes what Gibson does. And,
Gibbons,
yeah.
Yeah.
In particular, Josh Dolley stealing second in the second inning. It was a 1-0 ball game, and I just want to know, like, what was going on there. It just doesn't seem like a smart play.
That was supposed to be a hit and run, and we don't know if Tolley missed the sign or if Ryan Goins missed the sign, but somebody missed the sign. Josh Dolley is never going to be stealing on his own. That was not a John Gibbons error. That was somebody missing
a sign.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. That makes you feel better. Glad to hear it. Glad you enjoyed it. And we're going to see a lot of hitting and running with Ryan Goins. It's something that John Gibbons did a lot of in spring training. It's a way of, for him, getting Goins to clear his head and just worry about putting the ball in play. That pitch, and he does that a lot with hitters who are struggling. Goins isn't a power guy, and he's not a guy who's going to strike out too much either, so he's kind of a good hit-and-run candidate. We're going to see him pull the hit-and-run quite a bit, and hopefully with some great success. Today, it didn't work. Ryan is in Mississauga. Ryan, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to call in and say that I think that home plate umpire today really lent some credence to your idea of using technology to call balls and strikes.
Oh, man. Robot umps is the way to go, baby. It is the way of the future.
Well, I think this guy would have had trouble calling balls and strikes in T-ball. Holy smokes, that first call or the first pitch that looped through into Solarte, I think that must have been a foot outside. It was. I mean, and, you know, like they always say, as long as, you know, it's consistent, it's okay. Well, I don't know. He was consistent here and there. I think he called three. I think Adam Lind caught, he got five pitches in his last at bat. I think they were all outside. He called them all strikes. Three of them strikes, anyway.
They were all out of the strike zone, but they were all very, very, and there was nothing a foot outside or anything like that. It's frustrating when Derek Jeter is getting borderline calls called balls, and everybody else is getting borderline, or all the Blue Jays are getting borderline calls called strikes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, well, it seemed like he was calling an awful lot strikes, and then, you know, you'd catch one that was, you know, low, but, you know, a little closer to the plate, and I don't know. It didn't seem all that consistent to me, but, yeah, anyway, good game for the Jays, and glad to see Ari Dickey have a good one.
Yeah, it was, and you know what? I thought the umpiring was remarkably consistent. It just was consistently bigger strike zone when Blue Jays were hitting and a smaller strike zone when Yankees were hitting. And that's unfortunate. It really is. And that's why I'm all for robot umpires. I don't think it was a conscious thing by Dana DeMuth, the home plate umpire, at all. I don't imagine that umpires consciously make decisions to favor one team over the other or to give particular players breaks when they don't give other players breaks. But it happens, and it happens a lot. And it happens with the Yankees, and it happens with the Red Sox. Happens a lot, and it's unfortunate. Al is in Toronto. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
Doing all right still. How are you?
Yeah, great. I thought it was a really great game today. I wanted to bring up particularly Colby Rasmus. I know some other callers have brought him up, too. I just thought he just looked solid today. That throw, you know, was just dead on center. He was in step with a great release, and he just looks a little more confident now that he's been with the organization a little bit longer. You know, the other part about the umpires, I just wanted to say about the last caller, I kind of agree, but the strange thing for me was he was also giving that pitch on the inside to right-handed batters, too. So he was giving even to Ari Dickey, and there was a couple of inside pitches on right-handed where he called him strikes, too. So it just I thought it was a bit weird, too. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's really, really weird, I think, to try to call balls and strikes when there's a knuckleballer on the mound. I think that that's a very, very difficult thing for an umpire to do. So I'm more inclined to give them a break on calls that they're going to miss that way than with a traditional pitcher. But... No, I think that's it. That's the whole point. There's no but. I'm inclined to give them a break when there's a knuckleballer on the mound. Yeah. Brett Cecil's not a knuckleballer, right?
That ball was really dancing today, too. Like it was moving a lot. So, yep. You know, it's not a complaint. It's just something I noticed. It was just a bit weird, you know?
Okay. Appreciate the call. Thank you. And again, you know, I don't want to make this a regular thing, but robot umpires, right? I don't know why we have the technology that we can get every call right if we want to, instead of relying on a human being who has biases and feeds reputations and stuff. If it's a strike to Derek Jeter, it should be a strike to Jonathan Diaz too, and vice versa. But baseball doesn't work that way. Mitch is in Collingwood, getting some skiing in last minute, I'm hoping. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Mike, just on my way down to the city, actually, right now, I was listening to the game earlier. But I wanted to, first on, if tennis can have Hawkeye, why can't we have some sort of strike zone indicator that will let the umpire know if it's a strike?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think it's a little more difficult than that because everybody's got, you know, your strike zone is based on how tall you are and the yep. length between your knees and the midpoint between whatever and whatever, unlike
yeah,
Hawkeye. But
absolutely.
I think it can be done.
Yeah. The topic that I wanted to discuss a little bit about the Jays is I was at almost every game last year, and one thing that really frustrated me about the team last year was we had – I can't think of half a dozen bunts that we laid down last year that were anywhere near effective – or even small balls. Like, we didn't hit a lot of singles last year. And, you know, starting to see a lot of our runs are coming in already this year with home runs. I was down at spring training, and I saw them working a lot on bunts during batting practice, and haven't really seen much of that to start the year. I want to get your thoughts on that, Mike.
Okay, first of all, they did have a lot more than six sacrifice bunts last year, though. They didn't have many.
I know they did. I can't really think of a whole lot myself being there.
I'm glad. because it's a bad, it's generally a losing strategy to give outs away. So the fewer sacrifice bunts for me, the better, I think. I just thought we had
a lot of runners in scoring position last year that were sort of stranded there when we had, you know, no.
Yeah, I will agree with you that the Blue Jays did do a poor job last year of driving in runners from third with less than two out, that kind of thing. They did actually have 29 sacrifice bunts last year, which is, 26 too many probably. But there were a few. I think we're having some phone trouble with you, Mitch, so I don't know if we had to let you go or not, but we were losing your cell. Here's what I think. I think that giving away outs is not a good way to score more runs. I think that there's a fallacy out there among a lot of fans that when you ask a guy to bunt, he always gets the bunt down, always moves the runners over, and always executes a sacrifice successfully, when the truth of the matter is it probably happens a lot closer to two-thirds of the time, maybe less than 100% of the time. When you give away outs to move runners, you're often taking away your opportunity to score a bunch of runs in an inning. There are times when it's the right move to bunt. Never when it's a guy like Jose Bautista or Edwin Encarnacion at the plate. And there was somebody, I think, last night or the night before who suggested that Edwin should have bunted with runners at first and second and nobody out. You never want to bunt with your better hitters. But with a guy like Goins, guy like Diaz, guy like Josh Toley, in the right situation, if you're not going to pinch hit for them, then a bunt isn't a bad idea. But I'm certainly not a proponent of small ball. You play for one run, very often that's all you get if you even get that one. You don't. Sometimes you can have yourself a big inning, and those are the innings that win games. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 4-0. Team that had the biggest inning today won, although, well, the other team didn't score any runs, so really doesn't matter how big your inning is. Mark is in Oakville. You're up next on the Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Wilner. Went to the game today.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it. Pretty much what everybody else has been saying. I thought it was a good game, and obviously to get the win was important, but the fact that I think it was a little poorly managed.
Really?
Yeah. I just, you know, what everybody's saying about the missing of the stolen base and
that's
the
how is that poorly managed when a player misses a sign?
Well, I think it's managed from the coaching staff. I think that they should have that all in place as part of the whole game plan.
So was it good managing when Jose Bautista hit the two-run homer?
No, I think that's full credit to Bautista. I think that's why you have superstar players who can step up and help save the game.
So you blame the coaching staff when a player does something wrong. You credit the player when the player does something right. That doesn't seem especially fair.
Well, no, I think it's fair. I think for most parts, that's what the coaching staff is there for. They're there to teach them. I think they should manage them properly. I'm not necessarily saying you should always credit the player when he does something good, but I think when he has done something incorrect, why did he do that? And are they on top of that? I mean, we're only into game four of the year, or game five, but...
Six.
I
think you might be missing something here, or I'm really missing something here. But if you give a player a sign to execute a particular play, right? You with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
And he does not execute that play, how is that the manager's fault? If I tell you to bunt and you don't bunt, how is that my fault?
Because it's something that throughout the preseason, that's what you work for 4 weeks.
No. I'm not saying I tell you to bunt, you don't know how to bunt properly, or you don't bunt properly. I'm telling you, I just told you to bunt, and you completely ignored me. How is that my fault?
How is that your fault?
Yeah, because you just said it was.
you should have bunted. I mean,
no, you should have bunted. I told you to bunt, and you didn't. How is that my fault?
Well, one thing I did want to say though is about Dickey. I thought he played.
Well, Mark, I don't want to let you go on this because you just told me that it was John Gibbons' fault that the Blue Jays failed to execute a hit and run, and so you know you're saying that. It was poorly managed, and the manager's fault, and the manager's got to take responsibility for that. I want you to explain to me how that is.
Well, I think that at this point of the they were making the wrong calls from the dugout.
No, they weren't. The players didn't read the signs properly. That's
so why
not.
Why are they not reading the signs properly?
Because they made a mistake. The player made a mistake.
How could they have not went through the signs right from the beginning of training camp?
They have been going through the signs forever.
How to hit a ball, how to throw a ball. You're there to talk about a strategy to win
right.
the season.
Right. And if a player misses a sign, then the player has missed the sign. Now
so
you can talk about
Dickey.
Oh, okay.
If they're going to miss a sign today, how do we know it's not going to happen again in, let's say, July?
One would hope it doesn't happen again in July, but again, that's the player's responsibility to get the sign right. The manager and the coaches can only do so much.
So let me ask you this, Walter. Do you think that the coaching staff is not experienced enough for the players on the team?
No. I think it's fine. I think there's a group of very good coaches here.
Do you think that Mark Burley respects what Walker has to say in terms of his input on the game?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think otherwise?
I think so. I think they could use a more mature coaching staff.
What makes you think that Mark Burley doesn't respect Pete Walker? The fact that Mark Burley had the exact same year last year that he's had every other year of his career? Or that he threw 8 2/3 shutout innings on Wednesday? Which one?
Oh, no, it has nothing to do with the most recent results. I think it has to do more with when he pitches poorly.
Right. Yeah. Last year was the exact same year he's had every year of his career, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I appreciate the call. There are those who have made up their minds, and facts have no influence on. Such is life. Blue Jays shut out the Yankees 4-0. Dave is in Mississauga. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Due to the amazing amount of resources that the Red Sox and the Yankees have, I think that, you know, competing in the American League East is brutally difficult. And I think in order to win the division or compete, you need a genius level GM, and I don't think Alex Anthopoulos is that GM. I think the Jays should wait until Andrew Friedman's contract expires with the Rays and give him whatever money and autonomy he wants and try to build the team with him.
Okay. Done. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. I appreciate the call. Blue Jays blank the Yankees 4-0. Tomorrow it's Drew Hutchison and CC Sabathia. David in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, I just wanted to ask about Colby and Lind.
Sure.
I went to the game today, and I saw they obviously the other teams playing the shift against them.
Yep.
And I know guys like around the league, especially in the East, Big Poppy, not going to bunt against the shift. And Lind, you know, clogs the bases, kind of paid to hit home runs. I get that, but what do you think about Colby, especially in the two spot with Bautista hitting behind him, bunting against the shift, and especially when Melky gets on first? I feel like that would be put Bautista in a great position to drive in some runs.
First of all, I have a whole big issue with the whole clogging the bases argument. I'd rather have somebody slow on base than being out.
Correct, true.
But second of all, I am 100% for bunting against the shift. Always, every single time. You want them to stop shifting you. You drop down a bunt down the third baseline if you're Rasmus or Lynn. You get a couple of cheap hits that way, and boom, then they stop shifting you.
And exactly, and for a guy struggling like Colby, wouldn't it be nice to bunt a couple times down there, get rid of the shift, and now you're getting base hits through the second base, first base hole, and then you start getting on a streak there, right?
Exactly, and you know what? The shift is on to take away a single. That's what it's for. They move a guy into the hole between, let's say for the left-handed batter, into the hole between first and second, so that a single. They can't do anything but take a single away with that alignment, and they're giving you a single the other way. So, yeah, if you bunt, you're not going to hit the ball out of the park, but really, even the best only hit the ball out of the park once every four games anyway. So if you do it a few times to get on, I really think that ultimately there's going to be a larger payoff in that they'll stop doing it and you can be a little more comfortable at the plate, not have to worry about that extra guy. And great, it'll lead to more singles the other way as well.
Right. So what do you think stopping Gibbons, maybe the Blue Jays, maybe it's on Colby to make that decision. What do you think stopping them, and do you think it'll change soon? Do you think they'll start bunting against the shift?
I don't think they will. I don't think we're ever going to see that on a regular basis. I mean, the only guy I remember seeing do it more than once is Carlos Pena. But I think it's about, I don't know if pride is the right word or macho is the right word or whatever it is. You want to get a pitch to hit. You want to get a pitch to drive and see if you can get an extra base hit. Even though, again, the best of the best of the best generally get like 100 extra base hits a year in 700 plate appearances, or maybe slightly fewer plate appearances. They don't want to take away the opportunity to hit the ball out of the ballpark or to find a gap in the outfield or to get an extra base hit. And that's why they continue to not change who they are as hitters, even when the shift is on.
Right. I guess it's a shame. I'd like to see more first and second with Melky and Colby and then Bautista up, but I guess it is what it is, right?
I agree with you, and I hope that they do change because I think it's for the better overall, but I don't think it's going to happen. Thanks,
all right,
David.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays 4, Yankees nothing. Home runs from Melky Cabrera and Jose Bautista in a 3-run eighth after R.A. Dickey danced for 6 2/3 innings on a tightrope and shut the Yankees out on 5 hits. Aaron Loop, Brett Cecil, and Sergio Santos finishing things up. I'm Mike Wilner. We're Blue Jays talking it up right up to 5 o'clock Eastern time when Leafs Nation postgame takes over. We are going to Steve in Waterloo. Hello, Steve. You're on the Blue Jays talk.
Why, g'day there. Great call this afternoon. Congratulations. I thought it was a great game. Good to see the Jays win.
I thought you were from Waterloo.
Well, I am, but I'm kind of like an Aussie from Waterloo.
Oh, okay. We'll take it.
I've been enjoying a beautiful 7 years in Canada and, of course, some great Jays baseball as well.
Great.
I just wanted to mention, like, tomorrow's game, I know that it looks good. The team looks solid. I've always thought the Yankees to be like a scorpion, and what I mean by that, they do have a sting in their tail, and when they lose a game in a series, they do have a habit of striking back.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I mean, they've been really good for a long time, right? So, I don't know if I want to know where you think the Yankees' tail is. But
well, what I mean,
loss or otherwise, they tend to play pretty well
in a polite way. And the only reason why I'm saying that, what I mean by that is do you think with the way the Jays are shaping up at the moment, very early in the season, only a few games in, is it just a case of a little bit more momentum? Do you think it's just a case of momentum before they get that head of steam to get above that 500? Is that what it is?
I don't really believe in momentum. I've seen it switch enough, dramatically enough, and you know, not one day really have zero effect on the next to not believe in it. I think it's just a matter of starting to play well on a regular basis and not having these wild swings. And you know what? It really does come down to starting pitching. It always does. And you're not going to get shut out or only have one run into the eighth inning most nights, you hope, because it's a pretty good offense. But your starting pitcher doesn't get out of the third like last night or gives up 5 runs and walks 6 guys in 5 innings like Dickey did on opening day, you're not going to have much of a chance to win. So I really think that that's what it is. It's getting good efforts from your starting pitcher. That's where it starts. There's enough offense to cover off even mediocre outings a lot of the time, but they've got to get going. But I just think you ride it out, you watch, you enjoy, and eventually this team's going to wind up in a pretty good spot, I think.
Well, look, here's to a great season, and I hope you have a great season as well, and we'll be watching and listening. Thank you.
Listening more than watching, I hope we're doing both, actually, would be great. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the call. What what you need to remember in the overall, in order to win 90 games in a baseball season, you just got to win 5 out of every 9. So you're basically losing every other day with a couple of bookend wins every 10 games or so. It's not about winning every day, although amazingly, when a team does win 90, 91, 92 games, it kind of feels like you're winning every day, but you're really not. You just got to stay on an even keel and play well. That's something that the Blue Jays haven't done in a while. Trevor is in Toronto. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. I'm listening in, and I have to call in. I guess I'm in the minority here, but I think John Gibbons is doing a great job.
Yeah, I think you are in the minority, at least of Blue Jays Talk callers anyway, but I'm a big fan as well.
Like, bringing Santos in for a four-out save, like, that's smart. We haven't had a manager do that, and I don't even remember the last manager who did that. And pulling Santos earlier in the week to bring in Cecil to face the lefty, like, that's just smart baseball.
I'm with you.
The only thing I will say that drives me nuts, though, is how can he let Lorie bunt?
I think he was bunting for a hit. I hope he was bunting for a hit there. I really do. I don't know why Lorie watched that bunt until it got through Pineda's legs before he decided to run. But I'm hoping he was bunting for a hit. First of all, we know John Gibbons hates bunting. It's another reason that I respect him so greatly as a manager. But bunting to set up Tolly Goins-Diaz doesn't really work for me. So I'm pretty sure Lorie was doing that on his own.
I was going mental. I'm not a bunt fan at all. Again, I don't really think there's any scenario. You only have 27 outs. Why give them away?
There are a couple of scenarios. Not many.
Yeah, not many.
First and second, nobody out. Bottom of the ninth, tie game. Weak hitter up, sure.
I'll give you that one.
All right, thank you.
But that's about it. Hey, I got one other question for you. I was listening earlier in the week, and did you say that the Jays had the best 3, 4, 5 starters in baseball?
I said if they're healthy, yeah. I would say that Hutchison, McGowan, Morrow, healthy, are the best 3, 4, 5. And in fact, I would take them as a 1, 2, 3, I think, on a lot of teams. Healthy, the three of them have incredible stuff, every one of them.
I still think I'd take Tampa Bay or the Cards, or there's a couple others still.
I don't know. I would take, well, I mean,
Archer as your fourth? Oh, man.
Sure. Well, but you know, I was going to say, how much time does Archer have in the big leagues, but how much time does Drew Hutchison have in the big leagues, too? It's true.
I was not ready for that.
But I you know, David, I'll take David Price, but I'll take those three guys.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Enjoy the show, Mike. Keep it good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. Bye.
Much obliged. It is the Blue Jays Talk, and it has been a wonderful Blue Jays Talk. But I think we need to step away for a minute and get you set up for the Leafs Nation postgame. So we will do that. Thanks to all of you who called. Apologies to all those of you to whom we could not get. But we will have another opportunity to Blue Jays talk it up tomorrow after, perhaps, a series win against the New York Yankees? Could happen. It is Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It was a heck of a day here at Rogers Center. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 4-0. R.A. Dickey bounces back beautifully from a rough, rough opening day to throw 6 2/3 innings, a 5-hit shutout, 1 walk after walking 6 on Monday. And I don't want to hear any, and I didn't on the Blue Jays talk today, so very happy about that. I want to hear any how much he pitches better with the roof closed. The roof was closed in St. Petersburg on Monday, and he walked 6 and got beat up. Today, the roof was closed, and he was terrific. He's going to have to pitch outdoors sometimes, too. Other games, other scores around the major leagues of baseball. The Royals lead the White Sox 4-3 that game in the top of the ninth. Kansas City trying to close it out with Greg Holland. It's 0-0 A's and Mariners in the bottom of the fourth. Earlier, the Twins beat the Indians 7-3. Ron Gardenhire has 1,000 wins as a big league manager. Tigers held on to beat the Orioles 7-6. Blue Jays and Yankees are back at it tomorrow. We're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch. Drew Hutchison against CeCe Sabathia. Blue Jays trying to get back up over 500. Join us then. Thanks to Derek Brandeo, to Tom Young, to Igor Henriquez. We'll talk to you tomorrow.